じゃあ今日は黙示の9章と16章の一つの部分だけを見たいと思いますけど、イナゴの箇所です。最近はヨエル書を読んでて、そのつながりについてちょっと学びたいと思います。今日は英語からそして日本語に訳します。 OK、So today、we're going to look a little bit at、a couple of passages in Revelation、and、try to understand what their purpose is in Revelation 9 and 16. I'll begin in English and then we'll translate in Japanese. じゃあ祈ります。はい、天の父様、どうか今日もその、御言葉のこの一つの部分を照らしてください。悟らせてください。どうか私たちは今日あなたの裁きについて知りながら学びながらあなたの価値観、あなたの考え、あなたの素晴らしさをもっと理解できるように助けてください。私たちの頭、考えも神様の考えに一致になりますように助けてください。ありがとうございます。イエスの名によってになります。OK、So we can do a little bit of midrash today. I'll use the whiteboard. Okay. Right. Let's look first at Joel chapter 1. Let's look at Joel chapter 1. I'm not going to talk too much about Joel, but we'll just begin there. Joel. Okay. So it says in chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, O elders, and listen, all inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days, or in your father's days? Tell your sons about it, and let your sons tell their sons, and their sons the next generation. What the lowing locust has left, the swarming locust has eaten. And what the swarming locust has left, the creeping locust has eaten. And what the creeping locust has left, the stripping locust has eaten. Awake, drunkards, and weep, and wail, all you wine drinkers, on account of the sweet wine that is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has invaded my land, mighty and without number. Its teeth are the teeth of a lion, and its fangs of a lioness. It has made my vine a waste, and my fig tree splinters. It has stripped them bare and cast them away. Their branches have become white. Okay. And he goes on. And in chapter 2, verse 12, he says, Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, and with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. Again, quoting Moses' prayer in Exodus 34, and relenting of evil. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, even a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Okay, context. Joel is prophesying there's going to be a plague of locusts, and it's going to come in waves. I suppose there are different species of locust, and that certain kinds of locusts attack certain kinds of plants at different times or whatever. Anyway, there are four particular ones mentioned here, but one plague will come through and they'll eat the ones that they like to eat. And then the next plague will come through and eat what's left over, and then what's left and what's left. And it was a terrible thing. Why? What's wrong with locusts? Because they eat everything. And all of the food disappears. All of the trees are stripped bare. All of the harvest is lost. And so a plague of locusts can destroy a nation's food supplies. But what's intriguing me, and I think as I read Joel, this particular time it's kind of stood out more than other times, is how I've always interpreted this just immediately as the army of Babylon. And yet I realize in its context, it's not. As you go through, it is actually talking about locusts, where it talks about a nation has invaded my land. It's actually talking about the locusts. They're mighty and without number. They rush on the city. They're climbing on the walls. They are destroying everything. It's talking about locusts. Okay. It's maybe also predicting Babylon. And yet, until now, as I've read it and just assumed that, this time I read it and I realize, no, it's not. It's actually talking about the day of the Lord. So we're looking at a locust plague, and then we're looking beyond that to something that happens at the end of the age, at the end of time. Just as it will be in that locust plague, so it will be at the end of time. Okay? And in the end, in the day of the Lord, I've no doubt that it will be armies. I've no doubt that it will be nations at war with each other. And, you know, we've been through the prophecies many times about the sun turning dark and the moon turning to blood and all of these kind of things. But what I want to look at today is there was a small locust plague, but it's a picture of something terrible that's going to happen at the end of time. God said, if you repent, I will turn this around and I will leave a grain offering and a drink offering. In other words, the locusts are going to eat so much that there's not going to be even enough food left to give even a little bit in offering to God. The only little bit of food, everyone will just have to eat it. But God will bless them so much afterwards, if they repent, that there will be over an abundant supply and there will be plenty in offering to the Lord. In other words, it's a judgment on the people. God is sending this plague. It's a natural thing. Locusts are a natural thing. And actually, the locust is not an unclean animal. Inga, did you realize that? Locusts are clean animals? Not like cockroaches. They're of the devil, right? They're demonic. But locusts are clean animals. John the Baptist ate locusts. In other words, it's something that God uses. It's not something that is of evil necessarily. It's a natural thing. Locusts are a natural thing. But God uses them for a purpose. Now, what happens at the end times? Let's turn now to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. Actually, let's go to 16 first, because it's shorter. Let's turn to Revelation 9, chapter 16, and we'll read in verse 10 and 11. Okay, it says, then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. Okay, so then we go back to Revelation chapter 9, and in Revelation chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. And the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. And then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given them, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And they were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it, and will long to die, and death flees from them. The appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads appeared to be crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men, and they had hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were like teeth of lions. They had breastplates like the breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. They have tails like scorpions and stings, and in their tails is the power to hurt men for 5 months. They have a king over them, the angel of the abyss. His name is in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he has the name Apollyon. Okay. Verse 12, the first woe is past, behold, two woes are still coming after these things. All right. So, what we've seen there, we've got three passages all relating to each other. We have the book of Joel talking about a locust plague, but it is a picture of the day of the Lord, where the sun will be turned to darkness, the moon will be turned to blood, and there will be calamity throughout the world. Then we have Revelation 9, which also talks about locusts, and again it talks about the sun being darkened and smoke coming out and these things coming from the bottomless pit. Everything goes dark. And then we have in Revelation 16, again, it was the fifth trumpet corresponding to the fifth seal, the fifth vial, which is poured out in Revelation 16. And again, it's the same. It says, the kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain. Okay, well, how do we understand these, and what is it teaching us? Obviously, we're meant to learn, and we're meant to understand this on different levels, okay? Revelation is a sealed book, and yet it's unsealed. The angel said, don't seal the book. So, it's something that's sealed, but it's unsealed. Completely, we don't understand it, but we can see aspects of it. And what I'd like to look at today is why the locusts come at this particular time. Why the locusts come at the fifth trumpet? Why the locusts? What is it all about? So, in order to do this, first of all, I just want to throw up something here. If we have a look at the pattern here, if we look in Revelations chapter 8 and 9 and 10 and 11, and then compare it with chapter 16, 8 to 11, and then Revelation 16, we find these things. The first plague was upon the earth, and the earth was destroyed. The trees are destroyed. In Revelation 16, the first is upon the earth again. The first vial is poured out upon the earth, and those who worship the beast and his image. If we look at the second one is on the sea, and the sea turns to blood. And then in Revelation 16, the second one is on the sea, and the sea turns to blood, and everything in the sea dies. If we look at the third one is poured out upon the rivers and springs, the fresh water. And the fresh waters become wormwood or bitter, poison. Well, it's the same in Revelation 16. The third vial is poured out upon the rivers. And at this point, there is a long break to explain God's great purposes in doing all of these things. Then we have the fourth seal. The fourth seal is poured out upon the heavens in both Revelation 8 to 11 and also in Revelation 8 and also in Revelation 16, the heavens. The sun and the moon are judged. In Revelation chapter 8, they become dark, but in Revelation 16, they become extra hot. Now, obviously, if we're looking at this from a nuclear perspective, we could say that, well, clouds and perhaps there's destruction of the ozone layer or something like that, which causes radiation to increase, perhaps, and that might be physically what it means. But let's continue on then. With the fifth one, and this is the one we're looking at today, we have these locusts, okay? And the locusts are given a huge amount of space, actually, more than anything else. The locusts take up the majority of the explanation. We have almost, we've got a whole half chapter, or half a chapter, dedicated to this one particular plague here. In Revelation 16, it's the kingdom of the beast. The kingdom of the beast. And there are numerous common points there. Okay, but I'll just go on for the second. In Revelation chapter 9, in the sixth one, it's poured out upon the Euphrates. And the Euphrates River is dried up to make way for the army. And it's coming. In Revelation 16, again, we have the same thing. The Euphrates is dried up, and we have Armageddon. Maybe that's the way to spell it, I'm not sure. And then it's dried up. Then in the seventh one, it comes to an end. We have a full judgment. And then in the seventh one, it is done. It's finished. Here the ark is visible within the Holy of Holies. Here we have an earthquake. It's the final completion of everything. Okay, so we're trying to understand the locusts, and we're trying to look at the pattern of what's happening here. When we put these two things together, it's very clear. The earth, the sea, the rivers, the heavens, the Euphrates and the armies can come through, the Euphrates dries up, the armies can come through, the judgment finishes. Okay. These two aren't so clear. This one's given a huge amount of space, this one's given a very small amount of space. So, I want to make another pattern now, just to compare it on this side. Let's look at when Jesus died on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, we find the same thing happened. You guys can't see that, can you? When Jesus died on the cross, we see the same thing happen. Here, in the beginning, there was what? Silence. Right? The judgment begins. The wrath of God being poured out begins with silence. Jesus' trial begins with silence. He was silent before his accusers. Then Jesus is taken, and he is beaten physically. Okay, he's physically beaten, his body. And when he's on the cross, he says to the woman, say to him, they're weeping for him, and he said, "Don't weep for me. If this is what happens when the tree is green, what happens when the tree is dry?" Okay. So Jesus, in a sense, is the green tree. He's the tree that shouldn't be burning, but he is being burned. But what's going to happen when the judgment comes upon those who actually are supposed to be burned, who were ripe for judgment? Christ himself was righteous. He shouldn't have been put on the cross. So the first judgment comes upon his body. The second one, he is whipped. He is beaten, and he turns to blood. As we go along, the Bible says that he is given gall to drink. They mock him and they give him bitter wine. They give him bitterness to drink. Then, if we go on, we find that the heaven becomes dark, right? The sun goes down. While Christ was on the cross, I think for about 3 hours, if I remember correctly. Just before Jesus died, we'll skip number five. Just before Jesus dies, interestingly in John, it says, he said, knowing that all things were about to be fulfilled, he said, "I thirst." He's dry. The one who said, anyone who thirsts, come to me, and he'll never thirst. Your belly will become like springs of living water. He thirsts. Just like the rivers are dried up to make way for the very end. And then, finally, when he dies, there is an earthquake, just like in Revelation 16. Just like in Revelation 16, it says, "It is done." Here, it says, "It is finished." And the Ark of the Covenant is seen, which means that the Holy of Holies, right? You could see right into the Holy of Holies, at least in the heavenly, in Revelation chapter 11. But here, obviously, the Holy of Holies is opened because of the veil being torn. So again, what happens to Christ on the cross happens to the whole world at the end of time. It's a very clear pattern. This corresponds, right? Each of the judgments that comes upon Christ, he took the wrath of God for us, that we don't have to bear the wrath of God. Christ died for us so that we don't have to die. He died in our place. We should have received the wrath of God. And the only reason that God's people are spared the wrath of God is because Christ already received it for us. So that's very clear. But what about number five? That's what we are interested in. What is the relationship, therefore, here? Okay. And that's our second point. Okay. Sorry to keep you in suspense. じゃあ、始まりました。 じゃあ今日は、イナゴの話をしたいと思いますけど、まずヨエル書から始まります。そして、それを目視と、その福音書に、そのつながりを、調べたいと思います。まず、ヨエル一章、1節から、7節まで、読んでください。
じゃあ、おさえさん読んでください。お願いします。長老たちよ、これを聞け。この地に住む者も皆耳を貸せ。このようなことがあなたがたの時代に、またあなたがたの先祖の時代にあったろうか。これをあなたがたの子供たちに伝え、子供たちはその子供たちに、その子供たちは後の世代に伝えよう。 噛みつくイナゴが残したものは、イナゴが食い、イナゴが残したものはバッタが食い、バッタが残したものは食い荒らすイナゴが食った。酔っ払いよ、目を覚ましてなけ。すべてブドウ酒を飲む者よ、泣きわめけ。甘いブドウ酒があなた方の口から絶たれたからだ。一つの国民が私の国に攻め上った。力強く数え切れない国民だ。 その葉はおじしの葉、それにはおじしの牙がある。それは私のブドウの木を荒れさせ、私のイチジクの木を引き裂き、これを丸裸に引き抜いて投げ倒し、その枝枝を白くした。
はい。で、この文脈では、ヨエルは、これから、イナゴの、 群が来る。そして、すべてを食べる。おそらく4つの種類のイナゴですけど、それぞれの種類は、それぞれの植物を食べるでしょう。ある種類は木の葉っぱ、ある種類は種とか。 しかし、結局この4つの波で全てが食べられる。そして、イスラエルの食べ物がなくなってしまっています。だから彼は神様からの裁きです。で、2章、2章の12節では、 しかし今、主の蜜毛、心を尽くし、断食と涙と嘆きとも思われて、私に立ち返れ、あなた方の着物ではなく、あなた方の心を引き裂け、あなた方の神、主に立ち返れ、主は情け深く、哀れみ深く、恐るのに遅く、恵み豊かで、災いを思い直してくださるからだ。 主の思いを直して、哀れみ、その後に祝福を残し、またあなた方の神、主への穀物の捧げ物と注ぎのブドウ酒とを残してくださらないと誰が知ろう。というのは、もしイスラエルが悔い改めたら、
ヨールが予言しているこの災いは来るけど、後では神様はすぐ治します。そして食べ物が豊かにあって、主に捧げる分も、まあ、自分が生き残るぐらいの分だけではなくて、本当に豊かで、まあ、その穀物の10分の1とかを捧げる部分があるでしょうということ。さあ、それはその夜の時代の災いですけど、しかしヨエル書の中にヨエル書の中にこれはこの軍隊と出てくるものはずっとバビロンだと思ったけど、それはバビロンではない、これはイナゴです。イナゴは馬のように、そのありさまは馬のようで、軍馬のようにかき巡る、イナゴがいっぱいいて、まあ、互いに押し合わず、めいめい自分の王子に進んでいく、まあ、ブワーッと来て、それは町に襲い、城壁の上に走り、まあ、たくさんのイナゴを考えてください、家々に四字登り、盗人のように窓から入り込む。そして10節で、太陽も月も暗くなり、星もその光を失う。まあ、この群れ、この災いはただヨエルの時代の裁きだけではなくて、主の日に起こることを予測しています。終わりの日の多分本当の軍隊はこのようなものだということ。そして今日はその黙示の9章と16章をヨエルの文背景で考えたいと思います。黙示の中にまあ、7つのラッパの裁きがある。そして黙示16章では7つのなんという杯ですか、なんという、ちょっと用語を分かります、 8ですね、 8の裁き、8が注がれる。そしてそれは神様の怒りが注がれるということ。それを比べてみるとやっぱり同じです。裁きが一緒。黙示8章では1から 4までがあります。沈黙で始まりますけど、最初のラッパは血が裁かれる、そして全ての木が燃やされる。次のラッパでは海が打たれて、それは血になる。3つ目の裁きでは、それは川と湖が打たれて毒麦になります。毒麦ではない That's the word. 毒よ麦、毒よ麦、なんだったっけ、忘れた、ちょっと待ってよ、よもぎじゃなかった、ワームル、苦いよもぎになる。まあ、苦いよもぎというのはその、まあ、毒という言葉を表している、よく聖書に出てきます、苦いことと毒。まあ、そして4つ目は空が打たれて、太陽月はその光を失う、そして星が落ちてしまいます。5つ目を飛ばして、6番はユーフラテス川が打たれて乾かされて、そしてたくさんの軍隊が出てくる、まあ、また馬のようにたくさんの人が集まる。で、7つはその裁きが完了します。そして聖なるところに、至聖所に契約の箱舟が見えるようになります。箱が見えるようになります。じゃあ16章では同じ、1はまた地が打たれる、地球が打たれる。そして2番はまた海が打たれます、そして地になります。 あの3つ目は川と湖が打たれます。そしてあの、まあ、8章と全く同じです。4も4にちょうど当てはまります。あの太陽が打たれる。ただの違いはあの8章では太陽が光を失うけど、4章では太陽が熱が増えるということ。だから暗くなったりあの熱があの増えたりする。だからあの人が、まあ、皮膚のおでひが出る。そしてあの神様を冒涜します。また5つを飛ばしてあの6番はまたユフラティス川があの、断たれる。そしてあの軍隊がアルマゲドン戦争のために集まる。そしてそれは最後のイベントで、最後は神様はそれを終わらせる。であのもう終わり、もう完了という宣言があります。そして大きな地震があります。まあちょうど地、海、川、天、ユフラテス川、最後の裁き。ただ5つはあの違いますので、その5つは明らかにパターンとしては同じことを表しているけど、でも違う側面で表しているから、今その2つを、まあ、あの読みましょう。はい、あの16章の16章の10と11節を読んでください。
第5の御使いが口を獣の座にぶちまけた。すると獣の国は暗くなり、人々は苦しみのあまり舌を噛んだ。そしてその苦しみと腫れ物とのゆえに天の神に対して汚し事を言い、自分の行いを悔い改めようとしなかった。
OK、 ここで気づいてください。まず太陽が暗くなる。そしてあの舌が痛くなる。神様を冒涜する。 OK、 じゃあ9章を読んでください。9章の1から11節お願いします。9章の1節から11節。
太古の御使いがラッパを吹き鳴らした。すると私は一つの星が天から地上に落ちるのを見た。その星には底知れぬ穴を開く鍵が与えられた。その星が底知れぬ穴を開くと、穴から大きな炉の煙のような煙が立ち上り、太陽も空もこの穴の煙によって暗くなった。その煙の中からイナゴが地上に出てきた。彼らには地のサソリの持つような力が与えられた。そして彼らは地の草やすべての青草やすべての木には害を加えないで、ただ額に神の印を押されていない人間にだけ害を加えるように言い渡された。しかし人間を殺すことは許されず、ただ5ヶ月の間苦しめることだけが許された。その与えた苦痛はサソリが人を刺した時のようにような苦痛であった。その期間には人々は死を求めるがどうしても見出せず、死を願うが死が彼らから逃げていくのである。そのイナゴの形は羊人の用意の整った馬に似ていた。頭に金の冠のようなものをつけ、顔は人間の顔のようであった。また女の髪の毛の髪のような毛があり、歯は獅子の歯のようであった。また鉄の胸当てのような胸当てをつけ、その翼の音は多くの馬に引かれた戦車が戦いに馳せつける時の響きのようであった。その上彼らはサソリのような音、針とを持っており、鬼は5ヶ月間人間に害を加える力があった。彼らは底知れぬところの御使いを王にいただいている。彼の名はヘブル語でアドバンといい、ギリシア語でアポリオンという。はい、
OK。 そしてあのありがとうございます。あの
まあそれは5つこのイナゴで結構ね、あの長い説明があります、ね、彼は短い、彼はまあまあ短いけど、あれはめちゃくちゃ長いなので、彼はすごく強調されているあのところに違いない。そしてあのでもまあどういうことだろうなと思いながら、じゃあもう一つのパターンとあの比べましょう。じゃあ十字架上でイエス様が受けた神様のあの怒り、私たちの代わりにイエス様はその主の罪の上に罪に対して主の怒りをイエス様が受けました。最初は黙示の発祥で、その裁きは沈黙で始まった、天に沈黙があった。しかしイエス様は自分を批判する人の前にあの口をあの閉じました。何も言わなかった、沈黙で始まる。罪に対する言い訳はないということ、言われていることは全部なぜかというと、あの私たちが打たれるときに、この地球の人たちが打たれるときに、打たれられるときに、私たちは何の弁明することはない、もう有罪だから。イエス様は私たちの代わりに有罪だから、何の批判も答えなかった。それから彼は体が逮捕されて、でイエス様はあの十字架上で、あの女たちがあの嘆き悲しんだ時に、あの涙を出しながら、悲しんだ時にイエス様は、私のために泣くな、でも自分とあなたの子供たちのためにあの泣けばいい。なぜかというと、木が緑、青い木の時にこんなことがあるなら、じゃあ枯れた木の場合はなおさらにどうでしょう、大変でしょう。あのどういうことといえば、青い木はあの本当は燃やすものではない、しかしそれが燃やされる。それならあの枯れた木はあのなおさらにすぐ燃やされるでしょう。イエス様は、ね、何の罪をあの持ってなかったのに、罪のためにあの苦しめられました。しかしあの多くの罪を犯している世の人たちの裁きが来ると、どんなに燃えるでしょうということ。まず彼の体があの逮捕されて、で最初の裁きは地に対して、その全ての木があの燃やされると書いてます。次はあの海が地になると書いてます。じゃあイエス様は鞭打ちされて、あの血だらけになりました。で次にあの川と湖は毒、まあ、苦よもぎになりました。毒になりました。そしてイエス様は十字架上で、彼らはイエス様を預けているかとわからないけど、毒を与えた、そういう飲み物をあの与えようとしてた。まあそして太陽が昼の間に沈んでしまって、すべて暗くなった。あのそれも主の日に あります。まあ5つ目を飛ばして、あの6の裁きはユフラテス川、その大きな川があの断たれる。そしてあの乾かされる。そしてそれは最後 あのアルマゲドン戦争の準備をするためです。本当にあの終わりの直前。16章もあの、9章もそうです。でイエス様はあの全てがもう完了することをあの分かっていた時に、彼はあの私は喉乾いたと叫びます。本当はあのイエス様は、その乾いているものは私のところに来なさい、あの私が信じるものはその、腹からあの、湧き出るあの生水が出るでしょうと約束した、そのイエス様は私は乾いたと書いています。そして彼はその 例のない乾いた状態を私たちのために経験しました。で、7つはその大きな地震と、もう完了ですという宣言があって、大きな地震があって、そして契約の箱が宮の中で見れることも、イエス様が亡くなった時に大きな地震があった、そしてもう終わりです、もう完了したとイエス様は宣言した、そしてローマの兵士は宮の中に契約、王位が裂かれることを見ました。そしてこのパターンは全部ぴったり合っているので、今からすることはじゃあその5つを調べていくこと、どういう関係があるでしょう。はい、これからそういう話をします。 OK, so what we've done so far then is we've established a kind of background. We've looked at Joel and we've seen that a locust plague of a natural thing represents something spiritual that's comingin the end time, something worse, something terrible. The state of Israel at that time was bad. They needed to repent. They needed to turn back to God. Their heart was not right. But a much greater judgment was coming at the end. And yet, in both cases, they were told that if they repent, they could escape. Then we've established that the wrath of God is being poured out, and part of the wrath of God includes this plague of locusts. So, what was it in Jesus' crucifixion that corresponds to the locusts? Well, let's have a look at what we've seen. Going back to Revelation 16, it says, the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened. Well, it became dark. They gnawed their tongues because of pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. When Jesus was on the cross and the people stood around him, they blasphemed, they mocked him, they accused him, they laughed at him, they blasphemed the name of God. The guy who died on the cross next to Jesus, he blasphemed the name of God. It was their words, their accusations, their heart before God. They were hard, they were irrepentant, and their words were like poison. Now, the judgment is coming upon them, that in the last days, people who have blasphemed, people who have criticized God, people who have joked about God, they've joked about God's judgments, they've joked about Christians and Christianity, they've mocked and laughed, their tongues are judged. They're judged in their mouth because of the words that they spoke against God. So that's part of this. It's partly to do with a judgment upon people's attitude and words, their heart attitude towards God. It's not this particular action or something. It's more about their heart. Okay, now let's go to Revelation chapter 9. Okay, it says in verse 7, the appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. Now in Joel, we've seen that he uses these locusts to describe, he speaks of locusts like horses. And here again, it's the same idea. What will eventually be a big war in his time was a plague of locusts, but they were an army that God had sent. So here, what we're seeing is, they're not necessarily locusts, these things. They seem like some demonic kind of creature. But what they appear to be is illustrative of something greater. Okay, so we're looking at a typological thing here. If you turn to Revelation chapter 13, we get a bit of a clue. It says in verse 2, the beast, Revelation 12, verse 4. His tail swept a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, she might devour the child. Okay. Verse 9. The great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Okay. Notice that. A great dragon was thrown down to the earth. In verse 4, it says his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them down to the earth. The dragon falls down to the earth, a third of the stars fall down to the earth. The dragon falls down to the earth, he's thrown down to the earth, and his angels are thrown down to the earth. So what we're looking at here, as the Antichrist appears on the earth, he's adjoined by his host. And so I would say that that's probably what these things are. They are probably the forces of hell, demons, being released upon the earth. So what is a demon? I mean, a demon is a spirit. So when it describes it looking like this or that, John is seeing it in the spirit. I assume that it's like the cherubim. It's illustrative of something. The description of these locusts is very similar to the description of the cherubim that sit before God in heaven. It's describing spiritual aspects using physical characteristics. So, this is the same kind of thing. In chapter 9, verse 1, then the fifth angel sounded, I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth. Right? Who fell to the earth? A star from heaven. In Revelation 12, Satan is that star that fell to the earth. And if you look at chapter 9, verse 11, it says, they have as king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon. In Greek, he has the name Apollyon. So this angel who is given the key to the abyss, it sounds to me like this. It's the devil has come to the earth. He has possessed the Antichrist. But then there's also the host that follow with him. And this host of demons, he is given the authority to release them into their particular ministries. So that's what we're reading about in this locust plague. It is a rushed, sudden release of demonic activity around the world at one particular time. And we're going to look at the question of why God allows this and what's the point of it and what is he trying to teach us through it. But just before we do, let's just go through the description of these things. In chapter 9, verse 7, the appearance of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. They're an army. They're going to suddenly appear on the scene. Rush. Who is ready for them? On their heads appeared to be crowns like gold, and their faces were like the face of men. A crown of gold, like a king. Man being his own king. The demonic activity that takes place in the Bible, in the New Testament, is not demons appearing just by themselves. They were demons possessing people. So we're going to get a massive, just like when Jesus came the first time, and suddenly you had all these people everywhere who were possessed by devils, that will happen again. And they look like men, and yet they're wanting to be their own God. They're wanting to... they're rejecting the true God and wanting to be their own. Man is proud, just as the devil is proud. The devil wanted to be like God, and so he's tempting us to be like God. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what's right and wrong. Everyone should decide for themselves. Basically, anarchy. That's exactly what that is. There's no head. No head at all except yourself. Everybody is head. Panarchy, maybe. Okay, let's look at the next one. When these demons come, that's what they will be doing to people. They will be giving people the delusion that they are their own God. They are the one who does whatever they want. Secondly, they had hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. women's hair in the Bible is a picture of glory. People's glory is their long hair. These people take the glory for themselves, right? Women in the Bible are supposed to cover their glory, right? The idea was that they covered their hair as a picture of humbling themselves, and the man's head was supposed to be uncovered because he represented Christ in a relationship. So the woman's hair was covered. They cover their own glory, whereas here it's, look at me, right? It's all out. Everybody is self-glorifying. In the last days, the demonic influence in the world will be pushing people to glorify themselves. Look at me, listen to me, I will fulfill all of my dreams. Everything is based on me, 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 me. The idea of service, the idea of humility, is unpopular. And that's true today, but it will be especially true at this particular time. Then their breastplates were, or their teeth were like the teeth of lions, just like in the time of Joel, it describes them having lion's teeth. They devour. Paul said, you know, watch out that you, in Galatians 5:15, if you bite one another, be careful that you don't eat one another. Accusing one another. Quick to accuse. Quick to defend. Quick to attack other people. That demonic activity will be unrestrained in the last days. We are supposed to restrain these things, but in that time, it'll just all be released in one hit. Everyone, brother against brother, women, family against family, war, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Everybody suddenly turns selfish. Again, these things are always true, but at this particular time, they'll be not restrained. Everything will be unrestrained. And remember that Daniel was not harmed by the lion's teeth, right? All the way through this, there's always hints that this only applies to the unrighteous. To the righteous, there's no danger for any of this. God's people are spared from all of these things. Their breastplates were like iron. We have breastplates. We've studied it. Our breastplate is righteousness, faith, and love. Looks weak to the world, and yet it's so strong that even the devil can't attack us. They're hard-hearted, just like an insect with a hard coat on its outside. They're hard, and they don't repent. They don't repent of their deeds. They don't repent of their blasphemies. Basically, the world at this time is characterized by that phrase, and they did not repent of their idolatry and their murders and their immoralities. So, what we're looking at is the locusts are a time when suddenly people become unleashed and go crazy with absolute hatred toward God and toward each other. And so, when Christ is on the cross, that's what happened. He was surrounded by people mocking, accusing, laughing, the priests, everyone. And they were, the way that they treated him, the way that they arrested him, their hatred is unleashed. And this is a picture of what is going to happen at the end of the world. It'll be a demonically inspired selfishness. Everybody will turn to self. Why is God going to allow this to happen at that time? To show the nature of what people are always like. The reality is, we're always like that. But we have laws, we have culture, we have rules, we have ethics, we have all kinds of reasons that we're not allowed to do what we really want to do. I want to yell, but I'm not allowed to do it. I want to just commit whatever, I want to commit crimes, but I can't because I'm worried about going to jail, I'm worried about the police, I'm worried about my reputation. There are all kinds of restraints on us. But in these last days, those restraints will go. And what ultimately is seen is how wicked man is, and that's what this is all about. In the last days, God is really showing the wickedness of man. Okay. Alright, I'll just do this and we'll next week we'll do part two and we'll start to go into a lot of the teaching about it rather than just, this is all just background explanation so that we can start on what it means for us. Okay, じゃあ今この3つのパターンを比べました。そして、まあ、全部がぴったり合っていることを観測しました。じゃあ5つはどうでしょう。この5つ目はただ読むだけで似ていないけどでも明らかにつながっているので、そのつながりを今から読みましょう。まあ、また16章の10節と11節を見てください。16章の 10と11。第五の御使いが蜂を獣の座に伏ちました。今打たれるところは獣の座、獣が支配しているところが打たれる。すると獣の国は暗くなり、また暗くなりました。そして人々は苦しみのあまりに舌を噛んだ。そしてその苦しむ趣味と腫れ物のとのゆえに天の神に対して怪我仕事を言い、自分の行いを悔い改めようとしなかった。まずこのところを強調してしましょう。彼らはイエス様の十字架の周りに冒涜しました。イエス様を預けました。預け事をかけました。神様を冒涜しました。隣の十字架で亡くなった人もイエス様を怪我しました。そしてその冒涜のためにに対する裁きは彼らの舌が裁かれる、舌が打たれる。自分の言葉、自分の心、自分の態度がここで裁かれていることです。これは全部神様を嫌っている、神様を冒涜するこの世のに対する裁きです。獣が支配しているところはやっぱり人の心です。人の心が打たれています。人の心は悔い改めない、人の心は神様を嫌うので人の心が裁かれる。そして12章見てください。12章まず、4節、竜のことね。その王、竜の王は天の星の3分の1を引き寄せるとそれらを地上に投げた。また竜、まあ OK、竜は3分の1の星を地上に投げた。そして9節、こうしてこの巨大な竜、すなわち悪魔とかサタンと呼ばれて全世界を惑わす古い蛇は投げ落とされた。彼は地上に投げ落とされ、彼らの使いどもも彼と共に投げ落とされた。じゃあ星のように竜が地上に落とされる、そして星々が地上に投げ落とされる、そして竜の使い、それはまあ悪霊でしょう、悪霊は地上に落とされる。じゃあ9章1節、第五の御使いがラッパを吹き鳴らした。すると私は一つの星が天から地上に落ちるのを見た。まあサタンです。そしてこれを比べて11節、彼らは底知れぬところの御使いを王にいただいている。彼の名はヘブル語でアバラドンと言い、ギリシャ語でアポリオンという。そしてそれは即知れぬところの密会と言われていることです。 だからあとすみません、もう一つは、目視11章、目視11章の7節。そして彼らが証を終えると即知れぬところから登ってくる獣が彼らと戦って勝ち彼らを殺す。そして今それを全部合わせてみると、底知れぬところの王はその天使です。その天使は天から落とされた、その天使は竜、その天使はサタン、自然世界を惑わしている。そして星々が落ちる、そして使いたちが落ちる、それは悪霊です。即知れぬの流域を支配しているその悪霊たちは一斉ように釈放される。彼らは好き勝手にできるようになります。終わりの日に、まあ、イエス様の時代にたくさんの人は、まあ、その時代で人を使いました。そしてたくさんの人が悪霊に使われて、イエス様が彼らを癒しました。終わりの日もまあ、やっぱり悪霊は人を使うこと以外聖書に出ないと同じように今でもそうです。人々を使っているから、終わりの日にたくさんの人は一瞬悪霊に使わされるということになります。そういう裁きです。そして今まで分かっていたことは、終わりの日の主の日の裁きの中で、この5つ目の裁きは悪霊、悪の力、悪い王様の力が一瞬人たちに影響を与える。そして罪は本当にどんなものかは急に現れるようになります。今は悪は世にあります。私たちの心に悪があります。しかしその悪は漠然していない。それは隠されている。私の悪い考えを私しか知らないけどあります。あなたもそうです。誰でもそうです。しかし腰に帯を巻いているように、私たちはその悪を抑えている。しかし私たちはその悪があるわけです。だから人々が見えなくても神様は見ている。そしてその影響は私たちは常に格闘しているでしょうか。格闘してますか。しかし格闘してない人が多い。しかしこの世の中にそれを制限することがたくさんあります。立法、倫理、自分の会社のルールとか学校のルールとか規則とか制限とかたくさんあります。だから私たちは好き勝手にできないけど、この目視で神様の行いは悪、罪の恐ろしさをみんなに知らせること、こんなものだよという裁判の中で、この人はこういう動機を持ってた、こういう犯罪をした、こういうことをやってた、こういう企みをしてた、それは全部見せるように裁判があると同じように、終わりの日に人の悪がどんなものかを神様は一瞬全てを見せるためにこういう裁きをします。はい、じゃあこの悪霊をもうちょっと詳しく読みますと、9節、9章7節。そのイナゴの形は出陣の用意の整った馬に似ていた。まあやっぱりヨエル書もそのイナゴは馬のようにまるで国を攻めてくるような軍隊のみたいなものです。これも軍隊みたいなものだけど悪霊です。神様の御座の前のケルビンと同じように、まあいろいろな動物とか人間の混ぜたような特徴ありますけど、それは霊的な特徴を表しているために置かれているでしょう。 頭には金の冠のようなものをつけ、顔は人間の顔のようであった。体は人間、まあ、人を使っているけど、その人間を自分の神とします。自分の王、あなたは自分の王、あなたにそれをやれという権威を持つ人はいない。あなたは神だから。まあ、このように私たちは神という主張している宗教がたくさんあります。仏教もそうです、ヒンズー教もそうです。結局自分が神になる、哲学によって私たちは自分で好き勝手にやりたいことをやればいい、まあ、感じがいい、よかったらしてもいいでしょう、悪くはないでしょうと、このようは言っています。そして誰かがダメというように言ったら、それは一番罪深い行いと見られている。人に制限するなと言われる。すべては自分の神になる。今は自分の神になれないけど、でもできる人には北朝鮮の金正日とかカルト集団のリーダーたちは本当に神みたいなものになったら大変な行いをするでしょう。まあ、その終わりの時代に全ての人は自分が神だと思う時にどうなるでしょう。大変だから、その時に神様は本当の人間の罪深さを一瞬見せますそして8節、また女の神のように毛があり、歯は獅子の歯のようであった。女の髪の毛は栄光を表しているものです。それは彼女の栄光のために与えられている。だから、まあ、場合によってか、カバー をかけると、時がふさわしいでしょう。しかし終わりの日に、その悪霊の影響によって全ての人は自分の影響や栄光を求めようとする。サタンは神様の栄光を欲しがっているように、全ての人は栄光を求める。その栄光は楽しい体験、その栄光は人からの誉れ、その栄光は自分の達成いろいろありますね、栄光。しかし人はそればっかりを目指す。そして獅子の歯のようであった。ガラティア5章、15節だと思いますけど、ガラティア5章15節、書いてます。もし互いに神あったり悔いあったりしているなら、お互いの間で滅ぼされてしまいます。気をつけなさい。まあ、終わりの日にその通りになります。互いに神あったり悔いあったりしているでしょう。互いの間で滅ぼされるでしょう。だから気をつけなければならない。終わりの日にそれは実現になります。その時代に全ての人は仲間に対して責める。家族の中の戦争争いがある、国の中の争いがある。全ての人は互いに戦おう。結局自己中心か、私は好き勝手な欲しいことを手にするな、それは俺のものだというように人が考える。全然従う気がなくなる。全然謙遜な思いが尊ばれない、その時代です。大変。神様は今でもある私たちの心の中にある罪をその時に漠然します。どんなものか。そしてこの世が本当に裁かれるべきということを今私たちはただ無視しているだけです。本当は神の前にそれは全部現れています。はい。じゃあ9節では黙示録9章9節、黙示録9の9、また鉄の、胸当てのような胸当てをつけ、その翼の音は奥の 馬に引かれた、戦車が戦いに、発生つける時に響くのようであった、まあ、私たちの胸当ては義、愛と信仰です。私たち の胸当ては非常に強い。サタンでも私たちに責めることはできない。しかしこの世の、胸当ては、まあ、ただ硬いだけ。彼らの心が硬い、刀になって全然悔い改めない、悔い改めようとしない、自分の弱点を認めません。それは終わりの日にもう突然問えることです。そしてこういう人たちはサタンに、支配されているわけです。はい、まあ、これは一応背景です。これから、まあ、来週になりますけど、じゃあ今分かっていることは、終わりの日に人間の心に対する裁きが来る。このイナゴのことはそれを表すために神様は許される。そして人の心がその中に悪にある悪が制限されずに出てくるときにどんなものか。結局私たちは好き勝手にできることがあったらどんなにひどいことになるということ。そして人間の罪深さをまあ、本当に示すためにこの、裁きが許されます。はい、じゃあ来週はその、まあ、適用とかをいろいろ考えながら今どんな意味を私たちが取るべきかをよく学びましょう。はい、Okay, so just to finish today, this is kind of a background for what I want to look at in the next subject, next part. The kingdom of the beast was judged in Revelation chapter 16. That's the fifth scene, where the beast was enthroned, and that is the heart of man. So what this is a judgment upon the heart, the attitude of man. Right now, our hearts are full of wickedness, but we just don't know it. We don't think it. We don't want to admit it. We don't think about it. We want to pretend that we're all nice, jolly nice people, and that such things are not true. And yet, God wants to show the reality of sin, how bad it is. And sometimes, in many, many cases, in different ways, it's revealed, but we just think, well, I wouldn't do that. But we would do that, because we are like that. What this is a sudden unrestraining of evil. The devil allows his demons to come into the world, and people are influenced to do whatever they want, to be their own god, to bite and devour one another, to fight, to be selfish, to be jealous, to achieve whatever they want to do. In one generation, in a short time, just like in the time of Christ, when this sort of thing had a kind of a peak, it's going to happen in the last days, just to reveal the sin of this world. So, as we go through these judgments, that's the whole purpose of this. In the last days, like an accord, everything is exposed. It's not a case of, oh, he's guilty, just take him away. No, put him on the stand, and let's go through one by one and expose what really happened so that there can be closure. And so in the last days, it'll be the same. God will take every aspect of the sins of this world, and he will expose them so that there can be closure and that we can continue on. There's a lot more to it, but we'll go on next week and have a bit more of an understanding of this. Hey, じゃあ祈りましょう。天のお父様、今日、少しだけあなたの終わりの裁きに対して学びました。そしてこれから来ることはただ大変ということだけではなくて、恐ろしいということだけではなくて、本当に神様がなさっている御業を私たちは理解すると礼拝して、神様は完全に良い、完全に平等、完全に公平な方と私たちも理解できません。本当に今私たちは世の人たちは神様の価値観を完全に無視しています。全てが大丈夫と自分も
惑わそうとしていますが、あなたは真実の方で全ての悪を表します。あなたの御心は悪を追うこと。私たちは十字架のためにあなたこそ私たちの悪のために打たれましたが、しかし悔い改めない人たちには彼は残されていることが今わかります。あなたの恵み感謝します。あなたの憐れみ感謝します。本当に私たちの悪はその終わりのようと同じです。でも情け深い神様は私たちを受け入れてくださって、本当に感謝します。イエスの御名によって祈ります。 OK。